Welcome back to Dan Levitard's show. Peter Burns, Katie George. Don't worry, last hour you got to hang out with us all week long. It'll be all right. You'll get actual talent, at least Clinton Lee Yates and Jen Latta will be anchoring the ship tomorrow. You won't have to be stuck with me. You'll miss Katie, I guarantee you that. Remember, guests on the Dan Levitard show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. Katie George, Sports Center update. Let's roll.
Well, Pete, Amazon announced on Wednesday that it will be removing Washington Redskins merchandise for sale while the team considers its name change. Stanford will cut 11 of its varsity programs at the conclusion of the 2020-21 academic year as it deals with the ongoing financial ramifications of the coronavirus pandemic, including men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling. And finally, it would take more than 700 quintillion packets of Kool-Aid and 35 quadrillion metric tons of sugar to turn the Earth's ocean into cherry Kool-Aid. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all day long.
By the way, how much better are the SportsCenter updates when we just put in some random fact? When there's no really good news in the world of sports, like just having someone put just something that
content
you learn.
Content Chris coming in for you. Okay, I have some questions, Peter Burns.
Okay, go ahead.
When Lee Westwood open mouth kissed Tiger, did he?
Hold on. For those of you just joining us on the Dan Levitard show, that's a strong intro here. Maybe just another affiliate caught us in. You might have missed part of the story. Katie.
That's a good point. That's fair.
Can you imagine walking in and go, let's get back to Lee Westwood open mouth kissing Tiger Woods. So for those who missed it, I told a very long-winded story about how I snuck into the Ryder Cup party in Hazeltine, and I went into the European team party, found my way into the American party, and then Lee Westwood comes out and open-mouth kisses Tiger Woods in front of a small group of people. The craziest night of my life. Easy to say that. Yes, Katie.
My question is, did he kiss Tiger on the mouth, like on Tiger's mouth, or did Tiger turn and he got like a lot of the cheek, or?
Well, no, it was mouth to mouth. So because what happened is they were so close because they were mouthing off to each other. No pun intended.
It's a lot of mouths.
They felt like it was like B Rabbit and everybody in 8 Mile when they were battle rapping like in each other's face. Like I thought they were going to fight. That's why I had my phone out. I thought that hey, at some point this is going to break out, and it didn't. So that's why Tiger was not ready for said kiss from Lee Westwood, and it did indeed happen.
You said Lee grabbed him at the nape of the neck, behind his neck, and pulled him in for this open mouth kiss.
Yes.
Was it like aggressive? Do we think that that could have led to some of Tiger's injury issues with his neck? I mean, he's like fragile up in that region.
We were good because this is when he was back and fully healthy. So I do feel like at some point everybody was feeling good in that room. So everybody was a little bit more relaxed at that point. So yes, no neck injuries from Tiger in the kiss.
Another question that I wrote down here.
You
took a whole
questions.
Yeah, I did actually in the break because I didn't want to forget any of them. You took a whole segment, which is about 10 minutes, to get us to the point where you got to the USA team's room, and we got cut short, and so you had to tease, and then we interviewed Heather Dennett, who was amazing, and then we came back for a shortened segment that only lasted us like a minute and a half, and you were able to retell the story and the punchline all within 90 seconds, and I'm just curious if maybe we could have just gotten that 90-second spiel first time out of the gate and weed out some of the unnecessary details.
I understand you wanted to edit me, and that's fine. I felt like a storyteller. That's why people want creative choice and creative control over their stories, right? Like, no, everybody gets upset when they sell their story and they can't able to sell it. But yes, potentially I could have done it 8 minutes less. It's tough to tell a story.
And it is.
Honestly,
I agree.
To tell that story, I think that I feel like to see if someone can do it better, I believe that there's a story here on the Dan Levitard show that needs to be told as well, too. I'm hearing rumors of an adventure, like a choose-your-own-adventure book thing that went down at Dan's wedding. Who's going to tell the story here? Billy?
All right,
Anthony?
Tony. Tony's got it.
We're all three of us are actually entrenched in this story at different times, so we're almost going to tell it non-linear, okay? So Chris and I, obviously we've had a couple. It's open bar at Dan's wedding. We're having a great time. It's a who's who of ESPNers, of a lot of great people. One person in particular who's obviously no longer with the company, Dan Patrick, Chris and I see him at a distance, and this is probably, what, Chris, like maybe 3, 4, 5 hours into the open bar and the festivities of the party.
All right, so you're feeling loose.
We've had our fair share. Yes, we've had our fair share. We see Dan Patrick. Chris and I lock eyes. We're like, how can we get over to Dan Patrick, introduce us and ourselves as Dan Levitard's Danettes instead of his Danettes, and we go over there and talk to him, chop it up with him for a little bit. And in that time, we see Billy and his beautiful wife. They're standing there kind of in the middle between us and Dan Patrick. So we kind of mosey on over to Billy.
Billy carved a great space about three or four feet right next to
Dan
Patrick.
Billy was the scout team of the Dan Patrick confrontation. Got it.
This is all a very flattering version of what actually happened. So Chris and Anthony were buzzing around the entire night. Chris more so than Anthony, that I could tell. Anthony was kind of calm and cooler about trying to talk to as many famous people as possible. Chris, you would see, like, because it was more of like a buffet style thing where you would sit down and choose your tables. But Chris's family is friends with Dan, so he was sitting with his family. So you could tell he didn't love his seating placement in terms of proximity to celebrity, right? So you would see when people would get there, Chris would kind of just dart from side to side, heading towards, you know, like the Minas of the world or Dominique Fox or Pablo or whoever. But Dan Patrick was someone who was in the cool table. And Chris was not in the cool table. So Chris didn't get the opportunity to interact with him. So this was later on after the dinner was done. There was music playing and everyone was just kind of hanging out, mingling, whatever. Me and my wife went to the back bar, which is where Dan Patrick was talking to, you know, someone that he used to work with, a colleague, whoever it was, right? A former colleague. And we were just, you know, getting a drink by the bar, but we were standing there. I wasn't going to bother Dan Patrick. I don't need to say, hey, Dan Patrick, I'm Billy. I'm producer for Dan, whatever, right? I would be awkward doing that. I didn't want to do that. Lo and behold, moments later, Chris and Anthony, for the first time in the night, show interest in speaking to me and are talking to me and my wife. And I immediately realize after a couple, like, you know, just small talk pleasantries, that they're not even looking at us while they're talking to us. They're looking behind me. So I realize what's going on here. They're just trying to find a way to get to Dan Patrick. So I tell Chris, I go, because he's like, I just want to talk to Dan Patrick, whatever. How do you think I should do? I go, if you really want to get in with Dan Patrick or you want to have like an epic moment, you should do a shot with him. And the perfect way to get him to do a shot, it isn't going to be, hey, I'm Chris Cody, I want to do a shot. What you need to do is you need to go get Stugatz and you need to get him to come to the bar, because Dan Patrick will do a shot with Stugatz, because Stugatz will not take no for an answer and he'll just order 1,000 shots and just hand them out.
No, we're doing a shot. We're doing a shot. Yes.
Exactly. So you need to go get Stugatz. And then to talk him into doing, because Stugatz will do a shot with Dan Patrick for the story also. So they went and they got Stugatz to come over, and then they got the shot situation to happen where they're handing it out to everyone and Dan Patrick's part
the
of
best.
It. And then they did not leave Dan Patrick's side for at least 45 minutes.
I juggled for him. I'm a juggler. I know how to juggle. I juggled for Dan Patrick.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, but wait a minute.
Yes.
You got to the point where you were such a hanger-on that you had run. At what point does the juggling skill of this 45-minute, this can't be right off the top, right? This isn't your first, like, were you running out of material? How did the juggling thing come about?
I think there was like a bowl, you know, decorative bowl
of fruit.
So I was just like, you know, it's just like, I just happened to start juggling two balls with one hand, and I'm just like, you know.
As one casually does, I just started juggling two balls.
But to jump in on what Billy said, though, what we did, we used Billy as a lily pad. That's called the lily pad technique, where we jumped to Billy, and then we were like, all right, we got to get over to Dan Patrick, and then it was a great shot. We got everybody involved. It was great.
So speaking of this shot, what was it that you felt was worthy of handing to Dan Patrick?
It was tequila.
Oh. Okay.
It was a tequila shot that we all shared with each other.
No.
There was no lime.
It was just a shot of embarrassment is what it was.
I was going to say.
I juggled the lime.
Let me ask you this. The shot story I don't care about. I'm wondering, Tony, at some point, did you see Chris starting to juggle, and did you stay with the juggling exhibition that was going on with Dan Patrick at Dan Levitard's wedding, or did you slowly remove yourself, kind of like Homer Simpson back in the hedges in that meme?
So Chris and I are standing next to each other. We're a tag team, you know, duo in this venture of going to talk to Dan Patrick. So as we're there talking to him, we're kind of chit-chatting back and forth. Stu Gatz is there. We're making fun. And then I see Chris starting to run out of material. And that's when he starts glancing over, sees a couple oranges, and says, you know what? I can go over here. And hey, Dan Patrick, look what I can do. At that point, I start kind of like moving away. And Stu Gatz and I start walking towards something else. So at one point, it's Chris and Dan Patrick side by side, him juggling, and Dan Patrick just watching him juggle for about 10 seconds.
He was impressed.
In Chris's defense, if I remember correctly, one, it didn't go well because he had just taken a shot and that was not his only alcoholic consumption of the night.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, Dan Patrick seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to be amused, and I think that others may have also tried to juggle after Chris did so unsuccessfully.
I think Dan is off air now, right now. Can we? I mean, we got 45 minutes to make this happen. It's a big ask. I almost feel like at some point, I'll text McLovin. That's my only connection to that. I feel like we need to see if someone asked Dan Patrick, would he remember someone, one Chris Cody, actually juggling at said wedding?
100% he would. 100% he would.
So I have another thing, too, that he might remember, because I have a very distinct haircut when I do get my haircut. Obviously, during the quarantine, we've been having a little bit more of a difficulty with the haircuts. But what I do is basically I keep my hair long on the sides, and then I have it short on the bottom. So at that point, Dan Patrick said, look at this guy's hair. You guys let him do this. So I think that might trigger his memory a little bit, too.
More so than the juggling. Okay. Yeah. I just love that this whole story.
Chris Cody having two balls in one hand and juggling. This whole story was prefaced with,
I think, and if I can remember correctly, and this is hazy and all of the details.
Oh, I'm going to find this video of me juggling for Dan Patrick, and I will show
it's on
guys.
Video? It's on
well,
video.
Of course it is.
It's not on video.
You got a kiss
My
on
wife,
your
I was
picture.
Like, you better get this. I was like, honey, get this. Get this.
Oh, my. We're taking a break. Find the video. This needs to be out on the Levitard Twitter account. That is happening right now. Yes.
What did your wife say? Did you say, honey, get this, and you made her film?
She generally is embarrassed by me in public events like that.
Okay, just as long as we're all on the same page.
Honey, get the video out. I'm going to juggle for Dan Patrick at Dan Levitard's wedding. And the only thing sadder than that is the fact that your wife at some point goes, okay, sweetie, I will do that. Thank you, Chris Content. Peter Burns, Katie George, I don't know where the hell we're going next here on the Dan Levitard Show. Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. No Levitard, no Stu Gatz. Peter Burns and Katie George here, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you miss any of this show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Levitard Show, plus our Miami-only hour. Is that called Lauer? Is that what you guys do it? Is that what it's the local hour? Call it Lauer? All right. Best of podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to Levitard and Friends podcast, South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. I do have some follow-up questions, not to MLS being back tournament or Stanford cutting sports or the Ivy League moving their football potentially to the spring. But was there a social media embargo on Dan Levitard's wedding? I did have seen the video of Chris Cody juggling in front of Dan Patrick. Which, did you injure Dan Patrick? It appears there was an orange going awry here in this video I've seen.
He was fine. Everything worked out. But there was one time where a ball went flying and might have hit him in the midsection.
Okay.
Yeah, the midsection. So I'd also seen the video because we put it in the group thread in the commercial break. I'm quoting you. You said you had two balls in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to see that for myself. Why were you juggling just with one hand and two balls at the same time?
It's a great question, Katie. Now, when you're a juggler and you're an avid juggler, three balls with two hands is just like a walk in the park. So if you really want to flex the juggling muscle, you need to show that you can do the two balls with one hand, which I was a little slacking at because I had like six tequilas.
Okay. I've learned a lot about you, Chris, throughout this week. And I'm not saying any of it was good, but I have absolutely learned a whole heck of a lot of stuff. What have we learned about each other here on this show? We've been filling in all week long. We knew that Katie George, former collegiate volleyball player. We knew that Billy, We learned this today. Used steroids, and that's why he couldn't be a NCAA pole vaulter, because he trusted some 75-year-old lady at the mall on his supplements and nearly died because of kidney failure. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we learned that Tony almost played college football, but you weren't allowed to touch the football.
He also played basketball.
There?
Don't forget that. He was almost a dual sport athlete.
You were normally Bo Jackson. You were going to be the Cuban Bo Jackson until your dreams were dashed.
Until my dreams were dashed, that's right. So, Katie and Peter, out of high school, I played at a junior college. I was playing basketball. I ended up getting hurt and leaving the sport. I was kind of burnt out. Even though I played till this day, I was just kind of burnt out with the whole collegiate aspect of it. So, as people tend to do, they can make the switch from basketball to football. We've seen a lot of success stories in that realm. So, I was like, you know what? I played a little bit of high school football. I'm going to go out. I got a great arm. I could probably throw a football 60, 70 yards. Let me go out and try out for the FIU team. So what I did was for like 7 or 8 months, I was really focused. I got a QB coach. We started going over scheme. We started going over like a bunch of techniques and just
so you're
trying
all
to
in.
Get into.
This is serious.
Yeah, I'm all in at this point. I went down from like maybe 230 that I was weighing at to like 205. I was felt. I was you know, good. Come tryout day, walk-on day, we all get together, we start running 40s. I'm running the fastest 40 I ever ran. It was like a 4.7 something. So I'm feeling good, right? We're waiting for the balls to come out. And at the time, the position coach, I forget his name, comes down and says, all right, guys, well, we're going to have the wide receivers and tight ends on this side. We're going to have the quarterbacks on this side. Good news and bad news. Good news is we're here for the walk-on trial. Bad news is we can't use any footballs because that counts against practice for the real team. And I knew I was in trouble when he said the real team. And I was like, that doesn't bode well for me right now. Like, what does he mean by the real team? Okay, nevertheless. So he's like, all right, running backs, wide receivers, I want you guys to run these routes. They'll hold up a paper saying, you know, 9 route, flag, post, whatever. So they go with the quarterbacks. All right, we want a 2-step drop. We want a 3-step drop. We want a 5-step drop. We want a bootleg. We want a rollout. So I start doing all these things, and they're like, all right, you have to finish the play. Make sure you throw, follow through.
There
under center, okay, under center, taking 3-step, 5-step, bootlegs, all that, and throwing to a receiver who's running a route by himself and catching a tennis ball that the coach is throwing to him. It was a really bizarre thing. Needless to say, I didn't make the team, but, you know.
How were your throws? How were your throws?
Yeah, throws were excellent. Throws were excellent. I mean, I didn't miss one throw.
What do you think your completion? Okay, you didn't miss one throw.
100?
Were you chopping it up with the footwork and just the follow through the paint?
Of course.
Wow.
What year was this? Because I'm putting two and two together, and I just realized earlier this week we had Scott Satterfield on, the head coach of Louisville, and he was the OC at FIU from 2010 to 2011. So was
really?
He potentially the coach that ran you through this?
It was not Scott, because that tryout was in 2013 into 14. It was in February of 2014. So it just missed the Satterfield era at FIU. It was definitely in the Norv Turner era. I don't exactly remember who the position coach was, but I remember him saying "real team." That was something that
more importantly, Billy. I almost want to go through and wonder what FIU's quarterback play was that year, and know if was it any good. Is my follow up question for Tony, because at some point would they look at were they just going through the like you're not allowed to use a Nerf ball, tennis ball. I've got so many questions, Billy. Yes.
It was good enough that they needed to save the balls for the actual quarterbacks and the imaginary balls for the tryout quarterbacks, I guess.
I believe you learn something new every single day. Peter Burns, Katie George here. All right, coming up, actual sports. Something happened with the Ryder Cup that is going to be huge when it comes to the remainder of fall sports. We'll talk about that and more here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Welcome back, Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Peter Burns, Katie George, and all week with you. You can follow us on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. Remember, guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Katie George now has a Sports Center update.
Well, Pete, Steven Jackson apologized Wednesday night for using what he said were the wrong words in defending DeSean Jackson, but the former NBA player told CNN that what he said a day earlier should not be misinterpreted as support for anti-Semitism. Amazon announced on Wednesday that it will be removing Washington Redskins merchandise for sale while the team considers a name change. And finally, several studies have found that consuming an alcoholic beverage with a meal can protect you against food poisoning. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing, installation with no appointment needed, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Peter Burns here on the Lebatard Show. This just crossing my timeline right now that NFL teams in this upcoming season, if there is one, Katie, will be forbidden from post-game interactions within 6 feet of each other, and jersey exchanges between players will be prohibited during the 2020 season. Makes perfect sense, right? These guys play football for 60 minutes, blood, sweat, tears, fighting for every inch. Whistle ends, game is at zeros on the scoreboard. Everybody back 6 feet away. Like everybody, we've just played a game of football, and now the NFL's like, well, we're going to have to ban the post-game jersey exchanges. Richard Sherman's already in here saying, quote, this is a perfect example of NFL thinking in a nutshell. Players can go engage in a full contact game and do it safely. However, it is deemed unsafe for them to exchange jerseys after said game. What are we doing here, Katie? I mean, like, are we just putting rules to pacify people and just put Band-Aids on to make people feel better about what's happening? I'm trying to figure out why the hell the NFL would even put something together like this. Like, I didn't know this was a game changer for the NFL.
Well, I would imagine they're trying to limit contact and interaction as much as possible. I agree with you that it seems, I don't want to use the word stupid, but that's the only word coming to me at this point. But I'll do you one better. This, to me, feels like a headline. Chris, content Chris, coming in here, had sent us that Japan, the country of Japan, their theme parks have banned screaming on roller coasters because it spreads the coronavirus. And they have asked citizens who are going to come to the theme park to please scream, this is a quote, please scream inside your heart, just not out loud, because that would spread the coronavirus. But yet we'll sit you right next to each other as you fly upside down and take all these spins.
You're 6 inches away on the roller coaster, but no screaming. Scream inside your heart sounds like a great emo band. Like, at least, like, their first release, like, that's the one that they really, like, before they made it big, and your favorite emo band would do some kind of goth scream inside your heart. I do feel like that's the case. Like, listen, we see it. I mean, the idea, the Kansas City Chiefs just came out yesterday and said, hey, we're preparing for roughly 20,000 people. Baltimore Ravens said exactly the same thing. South Carolina football, who normally over at Williams-Brice Stadium, they can get close to 85,000 people, 80,000 fans, Gamecock fans in their stadium. Ray Tanner says probably looking at about 19,000, 20,000. I saw the MLS tournament is back. MLS is back tournament that's been on over at ESPN. It's fun to watch, and it's a little different with no fans. I mean, it's like you're watching a scrimmage. I'm just trying to think, Katie, what games and what events are we going to be okay with not having sports? Like, I think NBA is going to be fascinating. If you get everybody mic'd up, you'll hear a little bit more of the trash talk.
You're saying not having sound? Like, what sports are you going to be okay watching without the sound?
Yeah, because I, you know, different people have talked about, you know, pumping in some type of sound, and I'm fine with that, but I don't want that to be done for an NBA game. Like, I want to hear the sneakers squeaking. I want to hear LeBron talking trash. I want to hear whatever the hell J.R. Smith's going to say, because you never. I want to hear LeBron and J.R. Smith, frankly. Dwight Howard trying to figure it out as well too. Like, I'm kind of in. I mean, you cover the Bucks for the longest time, The game of basketball, being able to hear it up close and personal, is different than I think any other game, because you do get a chance to feel the insight of players a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw that with the UFC. I think they were the first back. That's what Dana White had pledged to be, the first league or entity back in the realm of sports. And we talked on the Best Week Ever how interesting that was to actually hear what was being said ringside during these fights. And then we saw the Bundesliga come out and start games, and you could hear, now granted, I'm not fluent in German, but you could hear athletes yelling and talking to one another. That was fascinating. Now, they did end up going to pump in crowd noise. I kind of wish they had kept it as is, and we could just hear what was being said and how players were getting upset, yelling at refs and whatnot. And that, to me, is fascinating. Like, if there's a silver lining of how bizarre everything is and what this new normal is supposed to be, I agree with you. I want to hear what NBA players are saying. Like, we're watching the MLS right now, and I've had it on mute this entire time as they were playing earlier on in the show. But can you hear what's being said? Like, that to me fascinates me. I know MLB players had talked about, hey, if we're going to do this, why don't we mic us up? Like, let the fans actually hear some kind of realistic stuff that goes down during our games. Like, I love that. I don't know if that's something that will be considered moving forward if we do get back to our old normal. But for right now, I'm interested in it, and I think it adds value.
Yeah, she's Katie George. Follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns ESPN. And you nailed it, Katie. Like, this is a free year. This is your mulligan year in sports. If you're the NBA, you've got a closed season. Mic guys up. Have some fun with it. If you're the PGA Tour, you could do exactly the same. Like, this is the year. Like, Major League Baseball's trying stuff. Like, get weird. Get weird on all of this. To think that, to try to go into this pandemic and the fact that you're not going to probably have fans at a lot of places, you're just trying to get the games played. If ever a year you were like, we're going to go with some different rules, this will be the year. This would be the year that you would try everything different. And it's interesting how some of these teams and some of these leagues have embraced it and some of them have not. Real quick, around the team here. Chris, what sport still works without sound? Of the major sports right now, which one, if you're not having fans in there, you're not going to lose any bit, any luster?
Outside of the Ryder Cup, golf.
I think golf, right?
That's a good one.
I feel golf. Like, we've had tournaments. It's weird whenever you see Bryson DeChambeau, you know, sink the putt to win the tournament and nobody says anything. There's not no oohs or ahs, but yeah, I think that works. Tony, what are you taking?
I think anything tennis-wise, all the majors in tennis you could do without fans too.
It's a really good point because they're silencing you anyways, but you just hear the clapping after. So, silence.
Billy, non-steroid user Billy here on the show, we found out earlier, uses steroids from a convenience store on like a 7-Eleven. Yes.
I mean, I don't want to take shots, but I'm a fan of a baseball team that doesn't draw very well, so I don't think that a lot of, you know, baseball games would change that much because there's lots of poorly attended teams.
I do wonder if people have talked to, like, Florida Marlin fans or, like, at some point and Florida Marlin players and be like, hey, how is it playing with no fans? Like, what do we need to be prepared for? Like, I feel like there should be, like, a conference call where everyone's like, we're not going to have anybody fans. What do we need to expect, Billy?
That's one of those things that oddly, like, triggers me and sets me off is when, like, former Marlins leave and go to, like, teams that, like, the last one that I can remember doing was Derek Dietrich went to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has, you know, like, they have, like, that parade on opening day, and they, like, love baseball in Cincinnati, right? And it just really bothers me when former Marlins players take shots at the fans because, and this is, you know, an irrational thing that shouldn't upset me as a grown adult, but it upsets me because I think, you know whose feelings you're really hurting, Derek Dietrich's of the world? You're hurting the feelings of the people that are actually at the game supporting you, that are, like, looking around hoping that other people will come. Because the other ones, they don't care, and they're not listening right to this criticism. So you're really just crapping on the actual fans.
So do you think then, Billy, that the 4,000 fans at L.A. Charger games were offended when Melvin Gordon said he was prepared to play without fans this fall?
100%. And as a fan and someone who, you know, I don't love crowds of people, I got to be honest with you. Watching a game without a ton of fans, very enjoyable. If I could just kick up my feet and I know there's not going to be anyone around me, I can have them up on the row in front of me, spread out. It's a really enjoyable experience. And if you want to get souvenirs, oh, very easy to get foul balls.
No convenience, you know, whenever you're trying to get your concessions, there's no lines, no bathrooms. Again, maybe I shouldn't be an LSU football fan. Maybe I should be a Miami Hurricane fan where they don't have a whole lot of fans going to the games.
Whoa, I've been to a game.
Whoa.
Yeah,
maybe just an ACC football fan in general. Maybe I should be a Wake Forest fan because that way there's nobody ever at the game.
Now you're just being offensive.
No. By the way, $2 fine for me. I said Florida Marlins instead of Miami Marlins. Put it in the jar. Peter Burns, Katie George coming up. Did we get by 28.5% approval rating? I don't think so. That next, the Levitard Show. Was that a $2 fine in the fine bucket that he had for screwing up the pronunciation? By the way, it was specifically. Remember the word, Tony, that I couldn't get a couple days ago that I nearly had a stroke on air I couldn't say? And I just it came to me last night at like 11 o'clock. My wife's like, what are you so excited about? I was like, I nearly threw up on air today because I couldn't say the word specifically, and then I couldn't figure it out. And then, boom, it came to me last night. Peter Burns, Katie George, this is Dan Lebitard Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We still haven't figured out who we're going to cast in the, Paul Feinbaum allegedly is getting a sitcom after him. I guess that's what the interwebs say. And Katie, I feel like you need to be a reoccurring part of said show. And so we're trying to figure out who Katie George, what part should Katie George play in the Paul Feinbaum upcoming sitcom? Who did we get? Somebody said Reese Witherspoon. I'm not sure if that's, and I think you're too tall to be Reese. Katie.
That's probably fair, but to be honest, I would take Reese Witherspoon in a heartbeat. But if I'm going to be on the Paul Feinbaum show, you sure as heck better be on it. So who's going to play you?
I'm going Harry Connick Jr. If you want somebody to play, you want somebody much better looking and much more talented than you.
I'm going
Harry Connick Jr. Whenever Paul has a fill-in, I would take Harry Connick Jr. I'd take also, what did you guys say yesterday on the text chain?
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, star. Remember the weird, creepy guy in Scream, the real skinny dude? I can't remember what his name was. I've gotten that before.
Well, who's going to play Paul?
I feel like Doug Stamper from House of Cards is a pretty good one. That's a
really good one. Wow.
Yes, Chris.
Matthew Lillard is who you're talking about, I think.
Matthew Lillard, yes. Yes. Once again, another punchable face.
Okay, Doug Stamper, or what about Christopher Lloyd, just like an older version of Paul Feinbaum from Back to the Future?
I think you got to go younger.
I'm looking at Christopher Lloyd's face right now, and there is a resemblance.
Billy, I'm hate to say this. Christopher Lloyd's still alive?
I think so.
Oh.
Everybody in agreement?
He's 70.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I'm just making... that's why I kind of paused.
Wow, that's a morbid thought.
Okay, we got a thumbs up. Christopher, like anyone right now, you think I'm a bad person for wondering if Christopher Lloyd was still alive?
I just want to be outraged for the sake of outrage.
Right.
Okay?
I feel like we're in the outrage Olympics here
now. That was my moment.
And that is where we were at right now. Who plays... I mean, Dan has to stop by this episode. Who's playing Lebitard in this show? That's funny that all you guys work with Dan every single day, and you're going to tell me casting for Lebitard is somehow stumped you? Out of all the most random, stupid facts you guys pulled out on this show that you're very quick-witted on, I ask you who would play Dan Lebitard and all of you blanked. Tony, tell me something.
We can do a Danny McBride. Grow a beard out on Danny McBride, and
that's who I was going with. That's who I was going to go with.
A very Kenny Powers.
What was like the college movie in like the 70s?
Old school.
The Flounder guy. Flounder. The guy who played Flounder in the famous college movie that came out.
Animal House.
The Flounder guy, like the fat guy.
Oh, that's a good one. That's not bad.
I don't even want to ask about Stu Gatz. I'm not even sure. I feel like Stu Gatz would be such of a character.
Adam Sandler could play Stu Gatz.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. Yes.
Stu Gatz often says that when he was younger, people told him he looks like George Clooney. So if you ask him, he'd say that George Clooney should play him.
When he was 3?
Right.
I don't believe anyone ever told him that. That's just what he always says.
Do I look like Stu Gatz? Do I have a Stugatz? Like, if I put the hair down a little bit more.
I mean, I was going to say, you have to take that, like, Giapet fro and put it down if that was going to be.
I think I could play. You know what? I want to play Stugatz.
I don't think.
I say dumb stuff on radio, right?
Here we go.
I feel like I'm already the character actor. I'm Stugatz, basically. Low-rent Stugatz.
You snuck into a party you weren't supposed to be in.
That's right. We've learned something anew. Katie, I'm going to miss here this crew on the Levitard show. This was something, to say the least.
I am too. I mean, we really grew from Monday to Thursday. We got to know them. I got to know facts that I honestly don't think I needed to know. But this was fun. This is a good show. Big fan.
All joking aside, that's what makes this show special, is you either get the show or you don't. Clearly we don't, but y'all do, and that's a credit to what Dan Le Batard has built. One of the reasons why he's the best in the business, and it's been an absolute pleasure. For Katie George, I'm Peter Burns. This has been the Dan Le Batard Show.